Yeah, my sermon today is called The Gift. And really, that is the message of Christmas. That is about the gift that God Himself gave Himself to us, that He came into our world, that was the gift from God, that He would come to die for sin and death and to rise from the dead. We then have an opportunity to give our gift to God. And our gift is ourselves, our spirits and our life. When we trust in Jesus, we give ourselves to Him. And then God gives back to us. So He gives us His Holy Spirit to dwell within us. So as I was thinking about this aspect of gifts, you know, what a wonderful picture of gift giving this is, that it's all about giving. This Christmas gift, though, we give our hearts and our will to Him. He gives us His Holy Spirit and lives in us. Christmas, though, is about birth, but it's not just the story of long ago about a baby born in a manger. Beautiful story that God Himself came to man. But this is about a God who is, who was, and who is to come. Christmas was never just about a day. Wonderful day that it was. Jesus was born. But it was also about new birth for all those who would put their faith and trust in Him as Lord and Savior. There's a great verse, 2 Corinthians 5:21, many great verses, but God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. We follow a living, victorious God. He demonstrates His humility and love and compassion by coming to save His creation from sin and death. His victory was the power of His resurrection. Our victory is the gift of the Holy Spirit that is given to us when we repent and believe in Jesus, our living God. It is said, and I believe it's A.W. Tozier that said this, the greatest tragedy of our age is silence from heaven. That many people in this world today do not hear from God. Many people, even in the church, do not hear from the living God. That is not God's will for His church. God's will for His church, that you would know that He is personal, that you would know that He is with you, that you would know that He is here with us. You see, if our God is far off and not very real to us, you won't fully give your heart and life and will to Him. But if you understand that our God desires to be real and personal, to answer our prayers, to be with us, to be our comfort, to be our strength, then this is a God that we will want to follow. We will want to obey because He wants the best for us. It is not God's will that there is silence from heaven. He wants His creation to come, to hear, to listen, and to obey. But so often we do not hear. The Apostle Paul heard from God on the road to Damascus. I love Paul's response when God calls to him in Acts 26:15. God calls to Paul, and Paul says, "Who are you, Lord?" What a great question. Who are you, Lord? You see, God wants to reveal Himself. He intended to reveal Himself to Paul, become the greatest missionary that the world has ever known, but He wants to reveal Himself personally and fully to you. Why? Because God has a plan for you. It's the best plan. He knows your past. He knows your present. He knows your future, and He knows your eternal life as well. God has a plan for each one of us. Paul's question is a great question. Who are you? Who are you, Lord? I have the privilege of being involved, and I believe David Manon came and spoke to you guys some time back. I have the privilege of being involved in IFAR, International Friends at Rutgers. And many of the students that I work with are students from China is mostly who I work with, but though there are many students at Rutgers from all over the world. But it's a great privilege. I find it a great privilege to be able to share God's love, God's mercy, and God's grace with people, many of whom have never heard before, have never heard this message of a God who died for their sin, of a God who wants to set them free of guilt and sin, and a God who loves them and wants to call them home throughout eternity. This God wants each one of us to know His plan for us. Well, as God calls Paul, He is also calling us. Maybe not in the same audible way. Paul heard from God on that Damascus road. But we have God's Word, the same Holy Spirit, and we are to serve the living God in the same, very similar way as Paul was called to do. In verse 16, God tells Paul, "Now, get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them." Paul was called to be a servant. That's what God calls each one of us to be. Paul was called to be a witness. And that's what God wants each one of us to be a witness of the light that He has given you. Never be afraid that, oh, I don't know enough, or I haven't read the full Bible, or God wants you to share the light that He has presented to you, to whomever He brings into your life. I mean, it takes wisdom, it takes discernment, but there are enemies, and the enemy that we have out there is often our own fear, our own hesitation, our own doubt, our own lack of faith and trust. God wants you to share this love with others. Why? Because there is a world out there that is very needy, that is very dying, that is very hurting, and very in need of this message that only the gospel brings. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And there are people out there who have never heard. There are people out there who have never accepted or rejected, but we are to share that message with our life and with His love. God goes on to give Paul this really great commission that I believe, again, this is our mission, that not only for Paul, but also for us. This wonderful verse of Acts 26:18. "To open the eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." I have a great privilege of teaching in Newark. I like Newark. I like to walk around Newark, but you got to be careful walking around Newark, okay? You pick your right times and right places, as a matter of fact. But a tremendous history, you know, the starting of the Princeton University was in Newark for 10 years in that old church there, that David Brainerd, the first missionary to the Indians, was commissioned out of this church in Newark to go to the wilderness of Jamesburg, New Jersey, and Princeton and other areas. So Newark has a phenomenal history. But Newark is also so terribly broken. So one of the guys who lives there was sharing with me and broke my heart, really, the story of this, just story of many stories of homeless mothers with children. And I was trying to, where do they go if they're homeless? And some go to shelters and some do not. Some are hesitant and are afraid of the shelters. And I asked him, how can we bring this message of light, you know, into this great, great darkness and darkness of generational disconnect, generational dysfunction for years and years, not one generation, but two and three, drugs, alcohol, abuse. I mean, how do you bring God's light into these very broken situations? Well, first and foremost, through God's grace, through His mercy, through His love, and through us. And we need to pray. I need to pray. How can you begin to bring God's light into a very, very, very broken world? Well, that was Jesus' mission. You see, He came to us. He came to a very broken person by the name of me and reached out to save me. Well, what did Paul do? Paul preached verse 20b. I preached that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds. Paul preached the gospel. We have the ability to repent. There are many people in this world that have been abused horribly, and it's hard to forgive, honestly, things that are horribly done to you. It's hard to forgive that. It's hard to forgive the things that you've done, that you know you've done. If you've done harsh, evil, bad things or harsh things to people, it's hard to forgive that even of yourself. But God gives us this amazing gift for salvation, to know Him, but He gives us this incredible gift of repentance, that we are a forgiven people. Hold on to that gift of repentance, that we can turn to God and ask Him to forgive us moment by moment. We need this living God who will forgive us moment by moment. So Paul preached repentance, and then what? To turn to God, prove your repentance by your deeds. You know, don't wallow where you are. Don't stay where you are. There can be victory in Christ. He wants to give you victory. But it's like Jesus said to the guy laying on the road, pick up your mat and walk. Pick up your mat. Do you want to get well? We can give this message of hope and wellness and peace and joy and salvation and eternity. But very often, we do not. Very often, bad English, me do not. Okay? Why not? Fear, hesitation, they won't listen. It won't do any good. They'll never listen. Are you kidding me? This guy's on the street. What am I going to do? Come up to him. There's wisdom. You know, you have to use wisdom. You have to use discernment. But in saying that, God's got the power to open hearts. It's through what? It's through His gospel. It's through this message of repent and believe. And then follow Him and follow the deeds that will lead you to life. We do not need to be held captive to our guilt, to our fear. You see, Jesus sets us free. Many of the Chinese students that I work with are very nice, are very polite. And politeness can sometimes work against you. We like politeness, okay? Politeness is a good thing. But it can work against you if it prevents you from sharing God's love. Oh, no, I don't want to tell them that this is wrong. Oh, no, I don't want to tell them in this way. Maybe they will feel bad about this. No, the gospel is good news. Yes, it must be shared in love. Yes, it must be shared in connection. It must be shared in connection that you want the best for that person, that you're not just telling them of the bad things that they've done, but you're telling them of the hope and the joy and the peace that they can have. So the gospel sets people free. But Christians too can be held captive to the tyranny of their moods, of their fears, of their emotions. Jesus came to give us new birth. We no longer have to be held by the sin of self, The Spirit living in us gives us new life. Everyone who puts their faith and trust in Jesus has this new birth. It is powerful. We can proclaim freedom, not in our own strength. We may be weak and weary, but in His Spirit and His strength, we have the ability to proclaim this new life. Now, how do we do that? I believe God gives us the answer in another part of Acts, which we're going to turn to in a second. I give this message to you. You know, often when I come here, I wind up speaking to myself. God winds up speaking to me, to my heart. And a month ago, we had a very difficult thing happen in my family. My son's a very good soccer player. He was a very good high school player, played a lot of different college levels. He plays in an adult league in South Jersey. He was running, and their two legs got tangled up. He went face down, and with cleats, he had a cleat step on his face. Hit him right here above his eye, broke his eye socket, and broke his cheek, his cheekbone. Thank God, the eye was protected, and as we went, he had to go to a plastic surgeon. We had a 2¾ operation on his face in Jersey Shore Hospital. And the doctor said, you know, I've seen these injuries before. The doctor was a Jewish doctor, a very good Jewish doctor. Pray that he comes to know Jesus, but he was a very good Jewish doctor. But he said, you know, I've seen these accidents before, and the eye globe really, really, really does protect the eye. Very rarely have I ever seen someone lose their eye. It can happen, however. He said, but very rarely. He said, the socket will break, but the eye itself will be protected. And I was thinking, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But through that, was I fully confident? Was I not anxious? Was I not worried? Was I not very internally, upset? Yes, I was. You know, how do you trust more? How do you love more? How do you grow more? How do you put your faith fully in that God is in control of these circumstances, even horrible, difficult circumstances, illness, some of the things that were prayed for today, some of the circumstances of life. If you turn back to Acts 2, if you're looking at your Bible, these are the words of King David. It's in Acts. And these are King David's words. And I believe if we could hold on to these words, that we could find freedom to be more bold, freedom to live more encouraged by God, freedom to not give in to anxiousness, worry, or the self aspects of things. And this is what David said. I saw the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because You will not abandon me to the grave, nor will You let Your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life, and You will fill me with joy in Your presence. The first thing that we must do, if you will, is see the Lord. I saw the Lord. Well, King David seems to have done that. We know Moses seems to have done that. We know that that Isaiah said, I saw the Lord. You know, Ezekiel, the prophets of the old, Paul probably saw the Lord, said that he did. We're not going to visibly see. We're not going to visibly see the Lord. I've never seen the Lord. But He wants you to see Him. He wants you to know that He is real. He wants you to know that He is with you. And He wants you to know that we don't have to see Him visibly today. Because when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, His Spirit, the gift of His Holy Spirit, now dwells in us. Have I seen this gift of the Holy Spirit? No, I have not. But I know that it's real, because I know that God, through the power of His Holy Spirit, has opened my sinful heart and enabled me to walk with Him, sometimes as imperfectly as I do. So the first thing we must hold on to is see the Lord. Know that He is with you. Know that He is there. Know that He is real. He is tangible. These aren't sweet little stories that have been made up some 2,000 years ago that have held on. This is a living God that we serve. Jesus must be a living God, because if He's not, then I don't want to follow Him. But He is the living God. I saw the Lord always before me, David said, because He is at my right hand. Guys, that's good news, that Jesus is with you wherever you go. Even when you're tempted to fall into sin, Jesus is with you. Jesus will give you a door out. He will give you the opportunity to bypass that sin. Well, sometimes we don't take that door out, unfortunately. But Jesus will then forgive you. We have the gift of repentance to turn to Him, and then to prove our faith by the deeds that He will enable us to do. So it is very important to know that God is within you, that God is with you. Would that make a difference in your life as you go to your schools, as you go to your work, as you go to different places that you are? The answer is sure it does. How many people, you know, in this world know that God is with them? You know it. You know it. Now we have the opportunity to live like that, knowing that. David goes on to say, I will not be shaken. Sure. Why will he not be shaken? Because God is with him. He knew it. He saw God with him. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. This gladness piece of our faith is very important. We are people that can be and should be very joyful. He says, you know, maybe not jumping up and down, oh boy, kind of stuff, you know, whatever. But like those little kids up here are like, but my heart is glad. Why was David's heart glad? Because he knew God was with him. He knew God was real. That my heart is glad. Okay. We might, you know, not always be walking around with a smile on our face, but always make sure that your heart is glad. You are a person who is known by the King. You are a person that is called a child of God. You are a person that is loved by the God who made and spoke all things into creation. You are a person that God came and died on a cross for, and then proved that He was God by the power of His resurrection. Jesus did die as a human, but He rose in glory as God. We serve a living God. My heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. Uh-oh, that means my tongue rejoices. How does my tongue rejoice, you say? Did anybody say that? I'm glad that you did, okay? My tongue rejoices because I'm willing to tell this message to others. I will not be held by fear. I will not be held by whatever different things can hold us down, and we all have them because I know that I do. But that our tongue rejoices. We can rejoice in Jesus Christ, our Savior. But don't just keep it to your church. The church was never a building, okay? It never was. The church is you. That we are the church. When we go out into our workplace, when we go out into our areas, we must be rejoicing. And why is our tongue rejoicing? Because we are a redeemed people. My body also will live in hope. This Christian message, in my eyes, and for most of, I'm getting close now, but for most of my life, I was not a Christian. Okay, no one's born a Christian. Okay, God opens the heart of each person. But in my eyes, the only people that can truly have hope are Christians. Why? Because what else in this world is eternal? Only God and only the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. Without that, you could have millions, you could have cars, you could have houses, you could have a wonderful husband or wife, you could have all of the above, and 10 times more, but you will not have hope. Why not? Because it's all temporal. It doesn't last. It's dust. It's chaff. It's the leaves that fall off the tree. Whatever time period, that's out there, 100 years, I hope, the way science is going, maybe you'll live to 120, 130. But in God's eternal kingdom, it's not long. It's not very much. You acquire all these toys, all these things, all these possessions, all these degrees, all whatever it is, all good things. And I'm not being critical of these things. But they're all temporary. The only person, the only thing that truly gives us hope is that there is a living God, that there is a way to know this living God, and that this living God provided a way to himself. Praise God that he did, through his Son, the way, the truth, and the life. So we are a people of hope. And in my eyes, we need to share that hope more. I need to share this hope more. If I am a person of hope, then let me show that more in this world. And I struggle with that. And I know probably you all do. Some are better at it than others, but I'm not all that good at it. It's easy for me to come and stand in front of a church and share the hope. It's far more difficult to me to share this message of hope with family members that do not know. It's far more difficult for me to share this message of hope with friends very successful that I've known for a long time, known me for a long time, but don't seem to care, want, or listen. In any way, and I don't want to, but how do you do it? You pray, you count on the Holy Spirit, you trust in the Holy Spirit, and know and believe that God could open the hearts of sinful people, some that you can't even imagine that he could open the heart of. God can. What is our hope? Where does this hope come from? Because he will not abandon me to the grave. That's a big deal. I mean, it seems intangible. I still fear death. I'm getting older and stuff like that. I don't want to die. I still have a fear of death. I do. I don't like illness. I don't like pain. There's a lot of things I don't like. But that's, God understands that. God gave us a love for life. He wants us to love life. This is a gift that we've been given, this gift of life. Praise God for it. But we must live our life a little bit differently, knowing that we will not be abandoned to the grave. We are an eternal people, and that will enable you to live your life a little bit more open-handed, a little bit freer, really a lot freer if you keep looking to Jesus and allow him to speak to you clearly, but to grasp hold of that truth that we are, will not be abandoned to the grave. How do we know that? What is the proof of that? Where's my scientific mind? Show me the proof. Well, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You see, there was only one Holy One, and that was Jesus. And God did not let his Son see decay. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He did not do it in a vacuum, meaning only a few people, the disciples, saw him. He did it very publicly. Jesus' Christ resurrection was witnessed by more than 500 people. That's pretty compelling. Okay, it was 2,000 years ago, but people 2,000 years ago were people too. And they doubted, and they mistrusted, and they saw this Jesus die, some of them, on a cross. But over 500 of them saw the resurrected, living God. And then a percentage of them saw this resurrected, living God in his ascension go up to heaven. So we have this truth that we will not be abandoned to the grave because Jesus lives. And that's a promise from him. When you put your faith and trust in him, you will live eternally. Repent and turn to God. You have made known to me the paths of life. Wow. Kings, wise people, professors, you know, many, 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 many people have longed to know what some of you young people know already, that Jesus is your Savior. Many, Larry King, the commentator is now off the air, but Larry King, a Jewish fella, he said, one of his questions, they asked him, if you could interview anyone in the world, who would you interview? He said, I'd interview Jesus, Jewish guy. You know, no one ever, by the way, has denied historic Jesus. The Muslims, the Jews, and everyone else fully knew Jesus was historical, was a person. The question is, was he God? And Larry King, and they said, you'd interview Jesus. What would you ask him? And Larry King said, I'd ask him if he was born of a virgin. You see, if he was born of a virgin, that would show me that he is God. And you pray that Larry's heart would be open to the truth that yes, Jesus was born of a virgin, that yes, Jesus was born through the power of the Holy Spirit because he is God and because he is alive and living. You have made known to me the paths of life. Guys, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, praise God. Be thankful because that's a gift. God opened your heart to that gift. You will fill me with joy in your presence. I like the idea of joy. I am not always a joyful person. Okay, I don't know why, but I mean, I'm not an unhappy person, but the idea of joy, of real joy, of understanding the joy of the Lord, of the joy of the Lord being our strength. I think if our churches were more joyful, we would have more people in our churches. Do you think so? I think so. I think there's a piece of this joy that we need to get more. And you will fill me with joy in your presence. God is with us. God is here. God is among us. This is the real joy of Christmas. It's not a day. Don't get stressed out. Actually, when you're lighting the candles, and I appreciated the person that couldn't light the little clicker thing. I can never get those clickers that light on the candles. But the reality of it, I'm going, oh no, 3 weeks, I have to go shop. I'm starting to feel, no, Christmas is not about a day. Christmas is about the living God and the living God giving us this incredible gift of his Spirit to dwell within us. It's the offer of salvation. And salvation is not very complicated and not very far off. Salvation just means call upon Jesus, repent, and turn to him. It's the gospel. Ask him to come and be your Lord and Savior. Let us pray. Father God, I do thank you for this church, and I thank you for the relationship I've had with it now for many years. And I pray your blessing upon this church, Lord, and each family represented here, Lord. I thank you for the world in which you created, Lord, and I pray that we would make more of a difference in this world that seems so broken, Lord, that you don't want us to have broken hearts, Lord. You want us to have uplifted spirits and hearts that are joyfully filled with you, seeing you before us. Let us see you more clearly, Lord. Let us love you more deeply. Let us, Lord, embrace this Christmas season and to just abide in you. to love you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.